Welcome to this episode. I'm titling it Quote Week, although I don't really want to call it that, only because if I like this concept enough, I think I'm going to continue doing it whenever I please. But I want to try and get as much of these as I can for the remainder of the month and center it around Black voices in particular and throwing in quotes by them and speaking on them briefly and just giving you, like, you know, a little bit of the history for Black History Month, you know. But the first two people I wanted to start off with are, in my opinion, two of the most important women this country has ever seen, and more accurately, two of the most important people this country has ever seen, and that's Angela Davis and Sojourner Truth. Now, for the quotes, I wanted to keep it relatively simple and something that didn't necessarily need context, but still important in discussion. And so first, I'll start off with the one by Angela. Okay, and it goes like this. I got both quotes here verbatim, okay? "Racism, in the first place, is a weapon used by the wealthy to increase the profits that they bring in by paying Black workers less for their work." And so I kind of want to work backwards off of that, right? I want to introduce a different person with a paraphrased quote in a book that I had read over the summer titled Stamp from the Beginning by Ibram X. Kendi, which I think I'm saying his name right. I-B-R-A-M, the letter X, Kendi, K-E-N-D-I. And what Ibram Kendi speaks about, he speaks on it perfectly, and that's the idea of intelligent self-interest. Working on completely removing the practice and discarding the effects of racist thinking is done through intelligent self-interest of those who are affected by this. And they don't do it through altruism or some sort of goodness of the heart by those that it does not affect. Listen, the benefactors... My fault, that's my air fryer. Fault about that last thing. The air fryer stepped in and kind of ruined the flow. But anyway, so I was getting to the idea about the benefactors and benefactors only are responsible for displaying this type of goodness of the heart, this altruism, because that is the only way that this sort of anti-racist state that we're trying to get into can never be achieved. Racism, elitism, homophobia, sexism, all forms of bigotry harm everyone in the process except for the people its creators resemble. And think about it in terms like this. Think about it in terms of the broad four. And in conversation, oftentimes I'll include different criteria to this, but the four constants have always been wealthy, white, straight, and male. You can include age in this case, older men, and you can include Christian or Anglo-Saxon, but ultimately, if you satisfy all those markers, racism has a tried and true cash cow formula for you. You were able to make money off of this. This not only for yourself, but for generations that followed you and carried your name. If you were wealthy, white, straight, and male, racism was a net positive for your bank account. And so why would they want anything to change? And why would they want anyone to ever figure that out? So where's the solution for all this, right? Well, let's start by removing some of the assumptions that we have here. And one of them that I think is really important, and it kind of gets thrown around, I would say decently, it's a convenient argument for sure, is that the greatest evil is ignorance. When it's not, it's chosen truth. When people want to believe certain things at certain times, depending on what comes as a result of that, that's where you run into problems. Ibram talks about intelligent self-interest. I want to talk about unethical self-interest. That's what drives the imbalance that we have today. Disregarding whatever else happens, because whatever else has no direct effect on you, or even more influential and even more dangerous, is that the reality that there are others who are disadvantaged actually keeps that power within your possession. The fact that there are people out there who are struggling because of these racial sexist issues actually is a net positive for your bank account, is a net positive for your agenda. The champions of race that America has forced into the spotlight, the Abe Lincolns of the world, were not enamored by any moral justice. I'm not saying that they didn't have any, but there's a good chance that they didn't have a lot of it, right? They weren't looking to be the example of all things good. They were trying to appease political influences. They're trying to keep everybody happy, save their own skin, do what's best for everybody. Everybody was not actually everybody. Everybody referred to the rich, white, wealthy, straight males. That's who everybody was. Everybody just happened to be either under the Bible Belt or above that, right? The North and South. That's who it was. Try to appease both sides. These discriminators, they tripped into progressive ideas, societies, by coincidence or by default. Whereas the discriminated had made it abundantly clear through mere existence alone as to why these racist ideas can no longer continue. They did it through educating. They did it through challenging and successfully overcoming biases and bigoted law systems. But I want to get to that, though. Right? I'm not here to glorify that. I don't want to take away from what previous generations of black folks did, but we got to get away from that last two statements. Through education and through overcoming, you know, discrimination, overcoming injustice. That's not the solution. You don't do it through educating. The idea that you educate racists is wrong. You want to know why? Because the very idea of racism, the very practice of racism, was based on a falsehood. It was done through a lie. It was birthed out of a lie. How can you convince something that wasn't ever meant to be convinced of anyway? You can't rationalize that because it was never meant to be rational. Facts don't bring people to see the light of day, right? Evidence doesn't really turn people to do things that they know they should be doing. This rant right here won't convince a racist to see the light of day. Or someone who is, let's say, publicly, they accept black culture, they understand black culture, but they still hide behind like typical American ideals about black folks speaking out about race in this country or demonstrating different, acts or, you know, different organizations that may help, you know, get to this anti-racist state. When you have black people participate in those things, it's sort of like a side eye, like, oh, here we go again, right? The removal of the power struggle that we see here today comes from the all-common, overly referred, but still sort of ambiguous 1%. Throwing away the things that make this quote-unquote 1% thrive and operate, that's how it's done. How do you do this? By throwing away a few different things. You throw away the idea that educating racists or bigots is the key to ending such things. They don't want logic. They don't need proof. They don't need evidence. That's not what drives them. It never did, it hasn't, and it never will. Tossing out these subtle stereotypes that are referred to in culture, in black culture, black people buying into the statements from white people about how black men, black women, and black people as a whole are responsible for these issues. Reinforcing disproven or just simply untrue claims about the lifestyles and culture of black people as we know it today. Because there are black people who have bought into the words of those who were not them about what these problems are within communities that are predominantly black. And we know that that's not to be true. If black men just stayed at home and didn't leave their wives and their children, or if black women weren't just so aggressive and, you know, they know how to cater to a man, all these different little racial tidbits thrown in here and there, you know what I mean? Buying into these stereotypes, believing that there is something inherently wrong with black people, that's got to be thrown the fuck out. Bottom line here, before I switch to the next quote. Abolishing systems that are in place that funnel back into that 1%. And the 1%, I hope you made the connection, is that wealthy, white, straight, male class. That group of people. That's what that is. It's tried and true. It's been like that since the 1700s. That is the people that you need to concern yourself with. Because what's always been a common denominator? Those people who look like the people who, quote unquote, founded this country have always had the most power, always had the most wealth. Racism benefits them. Racism doesn't even benefit poor white people. That's just an ego boost. That's a self-esteem thing. My situation sucks, but I'm not like these black people here. Yeah, I got no fucking money, but guess what? At least I'm not that, that black person. I'm gonna refrain from using a different word that I want to use, but that's all right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, abolishing these systems comes from that. Getting rid of that 1%. Okay, I want to get to the second part of my little quote week and use a quote by the great Sojourner Truth. This was spoken at the Women's Rights Convention in Akron, Ohio, I want to believe in the 1800s. And this quote was very much, it was direct, but it was just fantastic. So this is how it goes. There is a great stir about colored men getting their rights, but not a word about the colored women. And if colored men get their rights and not colored women, theirs, you see the colored men will be masters over the women, and it will be just as bad as it was before. Exactly. That's my cat, Josh, by the way. So I am for keeping the thing going while things are stirring, because if we wait till it is still, it will take a great while to get it going again. Sojourner Truth, in front of a congregation of white males, who, let's not forget, they use the word of God to pressure black folks into thinking that they had divine authority over them. And she did this in their face. She gave her I Ain't a Woman speech, which gave rise to not only just the broadened, race issue for black people, but the role that women had in this dynamic too, and how it was crucial that they not get left out of this conversation either. To refer to anyone who is non-male in this case as a subtext to progressive movements is not an attempt to dismiss or belittle their place in this cause only, but to also accurately describe this dynamic that she was talking about. That those who would have been put into this category that she would have been put in were trying to avoid that at all costs, because they know the dangers of where women, or just people, I'm going to get to this in a second too, where people with multiple fronts that they had to fight would have got put into. In this specific quote, it refers to black women not getting placed to the side. But transgender folks deal with some of the same cold shoulder issues too. And I don't want to take away from Sojourner's quote by, broadening it, but these different things bring the point back home, right? When your existence is linked with multiple forms of, historically discriminative, I don't want to call them quality or characteristics, if you have different things, like if you're a black woman, if you are a gay man, or if you are a gay black man, a Muslim who's transgendered, or if you have these different things that have been historically oppressed, then you're just at a greater fault there, right? Not only are you looking to resolve the racism that's plaguing your life, but the sexism that's in it as well. Or perhaps it might be fighting against anti-Muslim speech while also trying to tackle heterosexual norms. I say all this because what Sojourner Truth did in that moment was place herself in a position that black people, let alone black women, were in no way expected to be in, and were in no way even given the chance to be in. Or to even have the gumption, the confidence to come forth and say that with the quickness and the sharpness that she did, to set the stage for empowering black women, which, by the way, is vital and necessary in order for this whole empowerment of black people thing to work. For her to do that at that era, at that time, under those conditions. When I read the backstory behind it and everything like that, it's a great story. I was amazed. But the point I want to drive home with this quote is that black women are vital and necessary in order for this empowerment of black people thing to work. to have these voices not be silenced, to not give the cold shoulder, right? To use them when it's necessary or convenient, and then just kind of like, you know, put them to the side, right? What these two women have offered, they have left their mark on this country's history. Black History Month is American history. These women are American history. Black History Month is coming to an end very soon. But every month, every day of every year is Black History. Have a good day.